What are you thinking about for her post-op, not only in terms of adjuvant therapy during that year? Obviously, the question will be out there about whether to use pertuzumab. You talked a little bit about kind of the way you think it through, but maybe you could talk about with her what you'd be thinking and whether, if nothing changes a year later, are you going to be thinking about neratinib? She is ER positive. But anyhow, what about those two issues?
Well, I think that this is going to be a rapidly changing space over the next couple of years. At this very instant in time, my plan is to give her outback anthracycline, 4 cycles of AC, because she was node positive to begin. However, there may be a lot of other options available. And, I think a big topic that we're going to be seeing a lot more of is the idea of de-escalation for HER2-directed therapy. If she has a complete pathologic response, we do know from long-term follow-up of the pre-op studies that she probably has an excellent long-term prognosis. And so it's unclear if giving her more traditional chemotherapy in this setting is going to improve that at all versus moving to the HER2-directed therapy. And so right now there's a trial that's under development within the Alliance and ECOG. It's called COMPASS, and that's going to be tailoring outback therapy based on the response at surgery. So for a patient like this who has finished their initial 12 weeks of THP, if they have a path CR, then they would move to an observation arm with no further chemotherapy, but they would be expected to get HER2-directed therapy. Whether pertuzumab is included or not in that arm, I'd have to check. Endocrine therapy if they are hormone receptor positive. And if there is residual disease, then they would go on to get additional chemotherapy with or without targeted agents. Whether T-DM1 will be incorporated into this trial design, this is part of what I think everyone is thinking about now that we have this press release and whether that is going to become a new standard of care. But I'm hopeful that in the future, for a patient who receives upfront, shall we say, induction therapy with THP, if they do remarkably well, that there might be an opportunity for that patient not to have to get additional cytotoxic chemotherapy. But I would say, as of today, we're not quite there yet. And for my patient, she is mentally prepared to receive 4 cycles of AC after surgery.
I was just flashing on great moments in San Antonio in terms of presentations, because it sounds like this one's really going to be great. But I was thinking about the ATTACC trial and the dose-dense trial. And I think it was the BCRG adjuvant trial was presented at San Antonio. But I'm trying to think about, I guess, the Oncotype, but nothing that earth-shattering in the last few years. A lot of good stuff at ASCO, but sounds like this is going to be really interesting. You mentioned she was going to get THP, i.e., she's getting paclitaxel.
Correct. Weekly paclitaxel with trastuzumab and pertuzumab.
And is that generally what you do? And I'm assuming, and what I hear from other people, is that it's less toxic than TCHP.
Yeah, as you know, there's a lot of practice variation across our country. And for many people, there's a docetaxel-based regimen that's selected, as in the TriFinA study, giving TCHP. At our institution, our preference is THP as it's better tolerated and less toxic. And it also will be fitting into some of our de-escalation trial designs. But certainly the data is very supportive of TCHP. And if that's a provider's preference based on their practice patterns, that's entirely acceptable.
So I wanted to also ask you, getting back to your lady with all the diarrhea, did she have any prior history at all of any bowel problems?
She was a, let's say, faster versus slower transit person to start. But in my practice, I have not necessarily seen that, for example, people with IBS or, pre-existing diarrhea issues may be more predisposed to the diarrhea from pertuzumab. It seems quite idiosyncratic to me.
Have bowel absorption medications been used for diarrhea with pertuzumab?
So they have been used anecdotally, for example, like a cholestyramine. This was offered to this patient. She actually didn't really want that. But that has been used, and certainly for the neratinib population, that's been explored.
Another issue, you mentioned de-escalation of therapy. Any comments? We saw some data at ASCO on 6 months of adjuvant trastuzumab. There have been other trials along the way looking at shorter durations. You mentioned the intergroup interest in de-escalating therapy. Any discussion about shortening the amount of adjuvant therapy duration?
I think that it's been a pretty provocative question, and there are trials that have landed on both sides of the needle there. I have to say, we have not moved to change from a 12-month to a 6-month total duration of trastuzumab. I think that for a patient who's tolerating it very well, preference is to go to 12 months. But I think what that study really offers for us is for a patient who's having a problem, and I would point out specifically cardiac toxicity, if they have a drop in EF and it doesn't improve with a drug hold and with protective medication, if it's felt that that patient really can't safely continue on trastuzumab, we can use the data from that trial to provide great reassurance that they are getting adequate therapy and that we don't expect a decrement in efficacy if they have to stop prematurely versus what we had originally anticipated. I also think perhaps the implications might even be greater in developing countries where, due to sort of cost issues, it may be advantageous to pursue a shorter duration.